left Padanaram in obedience to God's divine direction, it was not without some misgivings that he retraced his road, which he had trodden as a fugitive 20 years before. Have you done some looking back this past week? Perhaps this summer season, maybe during the past 20 years? And as you think about the pathway that you've journeyed on, do you, like Jacob, have some misgivings as well as some joys and gladness? Jacob was troubled about his sin in being deceptive to his father Isaac, and it still haunted him 20 years down the road. He knew that this long exile away from his parents and his place of birth was the result of that sin. And he pondered these things on his journey back home, with his conscience accusing him and making him sad. I, for years, have loved the hope that we find in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Those who are in Christ, there's no condemnation. And yet the reality is that our minds can't help but return to those places where we know we've disappointed others and disappointed God. And so it is, as Jacob's native land, as the hills that he had been familiar with growing up appeared to him in the distance, and his past rose vividly before him, he was deeply moved. And along with the memory of his disappointments, his sin, were also memories of God's favor and the promises of divine help and guidance. How about you? When you find your mind and your heart being troubled, do you too turn to God's word? Have you discovered how God's promises sustain us? As Jacob drew near this journey's conclusion, the thought of a brother came to mind. Brother named Esau. For after the flight of leaving his home, Esau had, during those years that had ensued, regarded himself as the sole inheritor of his father's estate. The news of Jacob's return, did that bring gladness to Esau's heart? We think not. As the story unfolds, Esau was planning revenge. As we launch into our story, Jacob, on his way, had an experience not yet with his brother, but with angels, angels of God. We understand that this is why Jacob was, in verse 2 of this chapter, able to say, "This is God's camp," a place that was named Mahanaim, which literally means two camps. Why two? Because Jacob was seeing a camp of angels go before him and a camp of angels behind him, just as he had witnessed 20 years prior with a camp of angels ascending and another camp descending the ladder to heaven. Angels. So the present passed on before him while he himself spent that night in the camp. I want to talk to you a little about camping today. Pathfinders have a couple of campouts scheduled for this Pathfinder year, both in the fall and in the spring. Allison and I have some good memories of joining you last spring, southeast of Temecula, and a little hike that we went on. And that which sticks out in my mind is when Scott Hunter helped the kids know how to build a little shelter, which reminded Scott, when he was a child, of how he would hang out in the wilderness and watch for animals. Camping. Do you have some camp stories that come to your mind? As a boy, ripe old age of 13, brothers just a year and a half behind me, and another brother another year and a half behind, we were so excited that for the first time, we were going to go camping as a family. My dad had gone to the Army Reserve Store, Wigwam as it was called, in Beaverton, Oregon, and he bought some essentials like a pup tent, colored in camouflage green, and some really cool belts that had holes in them where you could hook on stuff like a flashlight and a canteen. And we headed out in the Ford station wagon, traveling east out of Portland, up into the Cascade Mountains, southwest of famous Mount Hood. We were camping with the Smith family. And that evening, we were all settled into our tent, two brothers and I, mom and dad in the back of the Ford station wagon with the back seat down, comfy air mattress, or so we thought, inside. But mom wasn't sleeping real well as a storm rolled in and she could hear the thunder and see the lightning flash through the untinted windows of the station wagon. And she said, "Bill, the boys, are they going to be okay?" Being the 7-year war veteran that he was, Bill reached over to the side in the tent, pulled out his army shovel, the kind that you unscrew and the blade folds down so that you wouldn't be hurt while traveling. And with no one able to watch him in the darkness of the night, there was my dad in his boxer shorts, digging a trench around the boys' tent so when the rains came, and they did, the boys would stay nice and dry. A special memory, but not so special, because it was our first and our last time camping together as a family. My mom would have no more of this nighttime madness and getting rained out and having her boys get wet. Camping. So Jacob spent that night in the camp. What camp? God's camp, with holy angels present. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Brothers. How many of you have a brother still living? I've mentioned earlier today, I'm blessed with two, both still alive. My brother texted me two nights ago about some documents he was putting together to renew his birth certificate and a couple of things that he texted to middle brother and I was his baby book. He was wondering, why had mom chosen a pink-colored book for me? He's a big, masculine man with arms the size of the thighs of my leg, and he's got a big beard that's down to here, and he's just a big guy. And as I look at myself in the mirror over the years, I wondered, am I from the same family? And as Gary sent another little note, my mom had clipped a newspaper clipping that talked about his birth that was printed in the newspaper. And then she wrote in her beautiful handwritten cursive style, "I stayed in the same hospital room and bed for the birth of all three boys." "Wow," I said. And I texted back my brother and told him, "Now I finally know why the three of us are so much alike. Ha." Brothers. How about your journey with your brothers? Is it always filled with peace and joy and love and happiness? In our family, we did our share of kind of beating up on each other. My mother was horrified the Christmas that my dad purchased two sets of Everlast boxing gloves. These were the real things, like Muhammad Ali wore, who could float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. He thought he was the greatest, that Muhammad Ali. But we know there's one who's greater. The Creator God, who created us in families. And the one who created a gifted woman named Ellen White, who identifies that the strength of the church, the community, the nation is in the same, is in the family. Families. We've been in a series this summer, sermon series, talking about family. And today we're mining this passage in Genesis chapter 32 to extract biblical principles for how can our family life be enhanced. Continuing to read Genesis chapter 32, verse 4, Jacob then commanded his servants, "Say to my Lord Esau, I thought we just heard of him as Jacob's brother." When's the first time or the last time that you called one of your siblings Lord? "Oh, brother, oh, sis, whatever you ask for, I'll be happy to do." No. Though, do you find as you age, that perspective begins to change a little? I can't help but wonder with you today, was the perspective changing for Jacob? How about for Esau, who was about to be a recipient of a whole lot of animals in biblical time, a significant inheritance of wealth? Jacob had said to his servants, "Tell my brother I've sojourned with Laban, my father-in-law, stayed until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, servants, and I've sent them to tell you, my lord, my brother, that I might find favor in your sight." We actually all long to find favor with those we love, don't we? Ultimately with God, the one who's created us. Is it any wonder, as we listened last night during our youth and young adult and young at heart gathering at our home, listening to Ty Gibson, who masterfully communicated how Jesus Christ, in returning to heaven upon Resurrection Sunday, waved back the angels because he wanted to know from the Father, "Has my sacrifice for mankind been accepted?" Jesus longed for acceptance like we do from our Father, our parents too. And our favor is desired from our siblings as well. I don't want to be in trouble with them. Now that I'm an adult, I don't want to be yelled at. I want to be loved and accepted, especially in my own home. Amen? And so the story continues of finding favor in our family's sight. The messengers returned to Jacob and said, "We came to your brother Esau. In fact, he's coming to meet you. But 400 men are with him." 400? 400? I mean, 4 would be one thing, 40 would be quite another. But 400 armed followers was evidence that brother Esau had become a powerful chieftain and evidence of the prophetic forecast 5 chapters earlier in Genesis 27, verse 40, that Esau had been living by the sword. Jacob, as a response, verse 7 tells us, was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people who were with him, flocks, the herds, the camels, into 2 companies, and said, if Esau comes to the one and attacks it, then the company which is left will escape. On the surface, you might be wondering, as I did rehearsing this again this week, well, that was kind of cowardly, wasn't it? I mean, you know, if they get half of my family, well, at least I've got the other half. Jacob. It's easy to blame him, isn't it? It appears on the surface he didn't really have trust or faith in God. But were we in a similar situation under dire circumstances like he was, might not we have demonstrated sound judgment in a similar way? Keep in mind, Jacob, unlike his brother and the 400 men, Jacob was completely defenseless. He was a shepherd, not a man of war. Jacob, exhibiting the very best he could while seeking to trust in the same God that we trust, who begins to share an incredible prayer, beginning with verse 9. Of Genesis 32. O God, my Father, the God of my grandfather Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and your relatives, and I will prosper you. I am so unworthy of all the loving kindness and all the faithfulness which you've shown to your servant. For with my staff only I have crossed this Jordan with my 2 companies. It's a model prayer that continues in verses 11 and 12. And if you could advance that, there it is. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. I fear him that he will come and attack me and the mothers with their children. Jacob wasn't just thinking about himself, was he? He's thinking about his precious better halves. Precious children, for you said, God, I will surely prosper and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which is too great to be numbered. Remarkable for its simplicity and energy, this model prayer has some beautiful principles that we can incorporate into our prayer life too. You no doubt have discovered a few of them already. As I read from this prayer, true humility, recognition of God's mercy, a plea for protection from perceived and imminent danger, repeating past promises and appreciating those promises. I wonder, as we wrestle with our family members, with our siblings, what if we were more about the business of prayer? More about zipping the lip and pleading for the Holy Spirit to reconcile, to build bridges together in preparation for families to be together on that grand day. Genesis chapter 32 continues with verse 13 telling us that Jacob had spent the night camping in the great outdoors, uncomfortable, no doubt, throughout the entire eve, brewing over and pondering what he had selected from his flocks, 550 goats, rams, camels, cows, bulls, donkeys. being delivered to his servants with the command, when Esau meets you and asks, to whom do these animals in front of you belong? Servants, please say, they belong to your servant, brother Jacob. It's a present sent to my Lord Esau. Perhaps we can be praying in the days and weeks and months ahead, Lord, is there something that I can give to my family that would be meaningful for them? That might enhance their journey? A couple of weeks ago, our niece and her partner came to stay with us in Fallbrook. And I've been thinking about a gift that I could give them this Christmas season. Do you find some of your Christmas gifts tend to make their way into the return to the store box? I've been guilty of that. My family hasn't been all that happy about that over the years. There's some other presents, though, that have really touched me, that were personalized and seemed to be thinking about my interests and some history that we shared together. So as I thought about this journey we spent with our niece and time with her beloved, I thought about giving her a picture when she was a little girl, brunette hair, cut off right below here, cute little bob, and a picture of my mother, this niece's grandmother, whom died when the niece was 9. And given all the stories that our niece was asking us about, oh, talk to us about Grandpa and Grandma. They died too young. I was just a little girl when they were gone. I want to hear more about them. I thought, well, there's an example of something that I could share with her at Christmas that would be treasured and meaningful. How about for you? No, we're probably not going to go out into the back 40 and gather together 550 chickens or cats or dogs. Our siblings would kill us, wouldn't they, if we delivered that? But all of us are blessed with so much stuff. Why not begin to give it away now, rather than wait for our kids to have to haul it away into the trash receptacle? I think Jacob's on to something here. And as we dig deeper into his story, this business of giving for the purpose of what does verse 20 say? Appeasing my brother can be thought of in a positive way of doing all that we can to build rapport and reconciliation with those who, as we rewind to the past, perhaps we've been distant from. And for good reasons, for things we've perhaps said or done, and vice versa. But as we anticipate that grand day, I want to do all that I can to be praying behind the scenes, to be accepting and giving of family members who appear at present to perhaps not be walking with Christ, that someday they will be. That we can walk together holding hands, looking into the heavens, saying, lo, this is our God for whom we've waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. This Sabbath day, as our sermon comes to a close, I like the final note I invite you to read with me at the conclusion of verse 20. When afterward Jacob said, I will see his face. I'm going to be seeing my brother's face soon. Perhaps he will accept me. Don't we all long for that gift of acceptance from our beloved relatives, just as they long for it from us? And it's a gift we can give, praying the model prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to inspire us What is it that we can say or not say? What is it that we can give? How can we be present like Jacob of old was to build a relationship that, despite his fear, worked in a beautiful way and resulted in a peaceful, tear-filled meeting between these brothers of old? God in heaven, may those kinds of very meetings characterize the meetings for us in the weeks and months and years ahead as we seek to grow relationships with our precious family and siblings, that we all might be together when Christ returns, is our prayer for your help and hope. In Jesus' name, amen. For our closing hymn, given our time, could we sing the first stanza of number 633? And may I invite our pastoral team to join us